Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome Dr. Owen Strand to the podcast. Dr. Strand serves as associate professor of Christian theology, director of the Center for Public Theology, and director of the residency PhD program at Midwestern Seminary. Dr. Strand, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you so much, Dr. Allen. Great to be back.
Yeah, you know, reading your bio here reminded me of, you have a pretty lengthy job title these days, or job titles these days.
I don't have enough to do. I'm getting bored.
That's right. I need to direct something. Hey, why don't you update our listeners just on kind of these three different little job titles that you have, little titles but big responsibilities, and kind of what the Lord has you doing these days at Midwestern Seminary.
Yeah, it's a great joy to have all of these different hats to wear. So I'm teaching systematic theology, obviously, have Theology 1 in the classroom right now, and had a PhD seminar a few weeks back with Dr. Matthew Barrett on advanced systematic theology. So that's a joy. And then directing the Center for Public Theology, have a podcast called City of God and do some writing there. Love doing that. Love engaging the public square with sound doctrine, trying to. And then finally, just came on this summer as director of the residency. We have about 25 students in the residency, so that's our residential PhD program. We meet on a weekly basis. We're having a blast. We had Andreas Kostenberger come in and speak to us recently about excellence as a scholar. We've got Steve Lawson coming in to speak to us. I'm doing some material for the guys. So it's a huge joy to be here in this season doing this kind of work.
Yeah, you know, I'm just to amplify what you just referenced on the residency PhD, really proud of the way that's taken shape and under your leadership, and something unique in theological education, the way we have personal mentorship and oversight to these students in this weekly format, and really trying to shape these PhD students into the type of scholar that they would want to be in order to teach in a Christian university context or a seminary context. And so it's fun for me to see that come together and take shape underneath your stewardship.
Thank you so much. You know, it's a blast to do it. And I say this publicly, we're not trying to produce just any PhD graduate. You can go to lots of different schools out there. We're trying to produce a very specific type. We're like MIT. We're like West Point. We're like the Sorbonne in that respect. So we want Christian PhD graduates who love the church. That's the vision you've promoted here at Midwestern. That's the vision we love. And so that's what we're going for, even at the doctoral level.
And before we get into the meat of the conversation today, give us a word of update on your family and what's new with the growing Strand family.
Man, I was just looking at cars this morning with my son. He often has a new little car, I should say, not a, you know, full-fledged car, but he's got these toy cars that he plays with. So we were talking engines, and this particular car had a skull's head on the front of it. So my wife and my girls didn't love that detail, but Gavin and I loved it. In all seriousness, we're having a lot of fun. I have three little kids. We homeschool. We're having a blast in this season of life. It's a very busy season, of course, as a young family, but what a joy it is to have kids and to have this moment, trying to grab every moment we can and just enjoy it and not, you know, not yearn for future seasons or something like that. So love my wife, love my kids, and praying to be a godly husband and father every day God gives me.
And basketball season is nearly upon us. We're Celtics fans, and I've been able to catch on the TV portions of two different preseason games. And this year, obviously, much potential, much hype. A little work to do here based upon what the preseason games have shown, but much to be excited about with this team.
Man, I am so excited, and I'm actually going to put myself on public record and say that I think this is the year, Dr. Allen. I think this is the year of number 18. This is the banner year. We are locked and loaded as Celtics fans. The team is just brimming with talent. So I'm high on the Celtics. I'm going to be living and dying on a weekly basis, unfortunately, with them. But I think it's going to be a lot more living than dying this year.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. Look, I'm rooting for banner number 18 as well. I so vividly remember, I remember barely kind of sort of the 81 banner. I was about 4 or 5 years old then. I remember 84 and 86 really vividly. Mm. And then number 17, I guess, what year was that?
2008.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah, I wasn't following the Celtics too closely then, given the season of life, but obviously remember that championship team as well with the big three.
You were backsliding at that period in your life.
That's right.
You've come back to the light. Yeah.
All right, so today we're talking about preaching with theological precision. And I have you in the studio and on the podcast for obvious reasons. You're a Christian theologian. You have written much already as a relatively young man. And so you're just one of the leading theologians in the evangelical world, Dr. Strand, I truly believe.
Thank you.
And you're also a preacher. And we're talking to preachers today, those in ministry who have the responsibility to preach the Word, to teach the Word, those in seminary who have the aspiration to preach or teach the Word. And really, this topic came together for me, even in recent days, thinking about things I see and hear bantered about in evangelicalism, about local church ministry and so forth. False teachers, you have the capital F false teachers, the true charlatans. And then you have kind of the lowercase F false teachers. I mean, they're not intentionally trying to mislead people. They're not crass about the money. But they, at the same time, have drifted from the gospel. They've drifted from the Word of God. And that's a concern as well. And then with it, kind of one step down from that, you have just this big, massive kind of mushy middle of guys who would believe the Bible, maybe their instincts aren't bad, but they really aren't intentional or clear when it comes to preaching the Word, especially about the great doctrines, the great truths of Scripture. So it's important because we're called to teach the people of God the Word of God, to train them, to equip the saints for faithful ministry, in the words of Paul. And that doesn't just happen. It happens through pulpits that are intentional about explaining the Word of God, bringing it to bear, and not just as relates to the practical application from it, but the great truths contained therein.
That is exactly right. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a place we would go to flesh this out. We are trying to train students here with a particular focus on the pastorate, a laser focus on the pastorate, to be skillful handlers, to use Paul's language there in 2 Timothy 2:15, of the Word of God. We are not simply trying to turn out graduates who feel positively about Jesus and have a vaguely theocentric or God-centered ministry and want to do some good for people. We're not in the business of producing those who do spiritual therapy for people. We are in the business of producing skillful handlers of the Word of God. Part of that means knowing the doctrine that you are serving up in the pulpit, and it means further being able to distinguish true teaching, to use the category you reference from the Bible, true teaching from false teaching. There is plenty of true teaching out there, and there is a great surplus of false teaching out there. We're not necessarily always serving up false teaching. You know, if we put on a false teacher hat and roll on TBN with the big money preachers or something like that, we can all dip into false teaching. We all have to guard our life and doctrine very closely. So this isn't an exercise, Dr. Allen, for the super theological among your listeners. This is for all of us.
That's right. And so let's maybe flesh out first, Dr. Strand. What do we mean by preaching with theological precision?
When we're talking about theological precision, we're saying that we are trying to get as close to what the text teaches and what a synthesis of the overall canon of Scripture teaches in our pulpits. So we're not offering up good feelings and vague pieties. In our pulpits, we are trying to offer up razor-sharp statements about the truth, because we know that, as Jesus says in John 17:17, the people of God are going to be sanctified, but they're not going to be sanctified in any old way. They're going to be sanctified, John 17:17, in the truth. Well, if they're going to be sanctified in the truth, we have to know what the truth is, and we have to be able to distinguish the truth from falsehood. Jesus himself is introducing this category of truth, the truth, definite article. So there is A, and there is not A. There's not a mushy middle that Jesus is promoting, saying anything that leads to people feeling better about themselves in a religious sense, that's good. Jesus is saying, preach and teach the truth, because that's the only way people are going to be sanctified.
Yeah, and a lot is at stake. A whole lot is at stake. Spiritual formation is at stake. Lives are at stake. Souls are at stake. So,
amen.
You know, to kind of try to make the argument, to frame it a little tighter here, what are some of the consequences of being theologically imprecise in one's preaching?
If you're theologically imprecise, your people are not going to be prepared to know what is true and what is false. And if they don't know the distinctions in different theological loci, different theological areas, they're not going to know what they should believe or what they should not believe. There are plenty of claims out there that people should reject. We're not always used to, in this day, talking about truth in propositional terms, and we should be very clear. The Scripture comes to us, the 66 books of Scripture, in numerous genres, and we're not scared of that. We're not down on that. We love poetry. We love history. We love wisdom literature, so on and so forth. But Scripture is fundamentally in the business of giving us divine wisdom, which is to be distinguished from human wisdom, worldly wisdom. And so we want the people of God to know the difference, to be able to, as Tim Keller says, spot the counterfeit. We want them to spot the counterfeit. We want them to know the truth, because it is only in the truth that people are going to be built up in the faith and are going to grow and are going, at the end of the day, as you framed it a minute ago, to stand before the Lord and be truly converted and truly sanctified and thus rewarded in the age to come. That is our goal. Our goal is not simply to produce theological nerds out there in the pew who ask us ornery questions after the sermon. That, in fact, is not really our goal. Our goal is to present people on the last day blameless in Christ Jesus. And the system God has ordained that brings that to pass is sound doctrinal preaching and sound belief on the part of the sheep.
Hey, Dr. Strain, let's pause just for a moment so we can get a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, I'm back. We're talking with Dr. Owen Strand on preaching with theological precision. You know, Dr. Strand, sometimes I'm afraid that we as preachers, we underestimate the flock. We underestimate their ability to comprehend. We underestimate their desire to be presented something they need to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about preaching in the 21st century, yes, we understand the distractions. We understand what Neil Postman so prophetically saw 30-plus years ago in his book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. We understand the attention spans. We understand social media. We understand entertainment, media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, it would be short-sighted, if not facile, for us just to deny some of those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we also understand that we're preaching to people who do read books, who do follow our logical arguments in other settings, preaching to students. They have to learn pre-algebra. They have to learn Western civilization. They have to learn literature. So they are having to think in other settings. They are reading articles on ESPN. They are thinking. And so sometimes I'm concerned that preachers underestimate the basic appetite in the pew for sound doctrine, for clear theological preaching, both in the sense of what they can understand and in the sense of what they want to be presented with. Because when a person really encounters a great life trial, the great illness, the great death, the great Category 5 hurricane that hits their life out of nowhere,
yes,
it's probably not a cute self-help sermon that gets them through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a deep, robust, muscular understanding of the doctrine of God, the ways of God, the great truths of Scripture.
That's right. I remember hearing about a youth group at a very large church, and the leaders of this youth group decided some years ago that they were going to forego the usual kind of lighter fare for youth, for evangelical kids, and they were going instead to walk through some of Wayne Grudem's material. His Bible doctrine book, so not the 1,300-page doorstopper. This is the much lighter version. This is only 700 pages.
Right.
So they gave the youth this book. They walked through it week by week, and here's what they found. They found that the youth group emptied out and it died. Incorrect. The youth loved it, and the youth found that they actually had something to say in their secular classes when the doctrines of the faith were challenged, as the doctrines of the faith are regularly challenged all around us day by day. You think about the goodness of God. You think about the creation of God. You think about the providence of God as distinct doctrines of the Christian faith. These things are challenged everywhere around us. And yet, if we're giving our people, our youth, whatever age they are, if we're giving our people thimblefuls of truth, don't expect that they're going to hold up amidst the trials and winds and storms of a secular world. We're sending a lot of our kids to universities and colleges that are, in some cases, not necessarily Christian. Don't expect those kids not to be drawn off by persuasive, very bright professors. So give them something deep. Ready them. In many cases, I think you're completely right. You're going to find they actually enjoy it. They like it. They like having their mind stimulated to know the Lord.
You know, when it comes to actually how to preach with theological precision, What we are arguing for here today on this podcast, we're not talking about, you know, preaching for 7 years through Grudem's systematic theology on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. or through any systematic theology on Sunday morning. Not that those shouldn't be read and engaged and digested, but we're really talking about preaching the Word in such a way that you are attentive to and drawing out for God's people the doctrinal importance of the text. And one of my concerns is sometimes in the exegetical work, we rush so quickly to the realm of application that we don't stop and ask ourselves, what does this text mean? Mm-hmm. Not merely asking ourselves, what does this text have to say to us about how we live our lives? And so wouldn't you say that really for those listening to this podcast, it begins with having an attentive eye to the text you're going to preach and ask yourself not merely what should my people do based upon this text, but what should my people believe based upon this text?
I agree, yes. I mean, I think that the fundamental way the sheep are built up in the faith, they are edified in the faith, they are sanctified, is in the truth. And the major conduit God has given us, has appointed for us, is the pulpit. So the pulpit is where all the sparks are supposed to fly in the Christian life. The pulpit is where the truth of God collides with the everyday experience of the listeners, of the sheep, of the congregation. So, for example, when we are in John 17:17, I was referencing that earlier, we're talking about the truth. Something a preacher could do, for example, there to build the faith of his people, to be theologically precise, is to distinguish between a kind of postmodern concept of the truth, your truth, my truth. We're hearing a lot about that today in the public square, and to show that in Christianity, we're talking about absolute truth, the truth, definite article truth. You do that kind of work. You guard even your concept of truth as you're building out your sermon, and you're going to see your people having light bulbs come on. They're going to be thinking more precisely even about the concept of truth. This doesn't have to, Dr. Allen, be a 25-minute jag such that the sermon ends up being a 90-minute bloviated disquisition. This can be a 3-minute, dovetail. This can be a 5-minute, quick, concise summation of these kind of views. But you taking the time to articulate how Christianity is distinguished from the world in this particular day, grounding that in the text exegetically, man, that's going to really help your people. That's what we're talking about. It's going to make them more theologically precise thinkers, and that's going to yield a more godly life.
That's very well said. You know, when you think about actually preaching the great truths of Scripture, I want to encourage us to adopt the mindset of more, meaning being aware of where your church is. And like you just said, it doesn't have to be a 25-minute digression in the middle of a 90-minute sermon. No, not at all. If you have a church that has had shallow sermons for many years, even many decades, don't feel like you have to go from A to Z overnight, but just like go from A to B.
Yes.
Try to give them more. Additionally, let me encourage us to as we seek to do that, to bring them more meat, not more milk, as we seek to do that, be mindful of the fact that our people, they may not realize they need it until after something has occurred to them, which has brought their attention, they need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the American church is taking a milk bath at present. So we've had a generation of Christians who have been doused and in some cases drowned in milk. And so, look, there's a lot of preaching out there that makes people feel better about themselves in a religious sense and raises their self-esteem. But that is not what we are in the business of doing. We are in the business of taking those who are children of hell, and by the grace of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, seeing the Spirit work in them such that they become children of heaven, children of God. So that is distinctly theological work. That is work that the therapists and the gurus out there, the secular thinkers, they cannot do it. We're not offering up people truth because, well, we got nothing better to offer them in the pulpit. We are offering them theology, sound doctrine, because this is the only thing that will get them from death to life, from hell to heaven. So we cannot offer them anything other than that.
You know, you're exactly right, Dr. Strand. And the other thing that to be mindful of when it comes to preaching the truth and preaching with theological precision is, again, the noise that's out there that they hear. So, for instance, we don't live in an increasingly Christian age, but we do live still in a very spiritual, but that in air quotes and scare quotes, and a very religious age. And so there's what I call, you know, the Oprahfication of the church. I've never watched an episode of Oprah, but my understanding is that, you know, she's happy to talk about God in this very generic sense.
Right.
If we're not careful, our people can just devolve into that just general sense of God talk as though he's just some kind of, you know, force out there that isn't personal, that hasn't sent his son. So we're having to not only, you know, combat the false teacher, those who are doing it, you know, as charlatans, as hucksters, but also just the general just noise in the culture. We're having to clean that up and correct that. And there's no way to do that in a roundabout way.
There's not. There's not. We need to root this, too, in the doctrine of God. You think about how people approach God as a topic. They approach God as this generic deity. Well, that is not what the Bible offers us. As its doctrine of God. It's theology proper. The Bible offers us a Trinitarian God, three persons, one God. And so we recognize that there is tremendous specificity we need to unfurl so that people are not confused about different religions. People out there really do think that all religions teach the same things. And I think we can wager that there are a fair number of professing Christians and even people who are truly born again who really have never heard the distinctions between different theologies of God fleshed out. We have to do that work. We have to do that work in the area of Trinitarian theology. We have to do that work in the realm of the atonement and the person and work of Jesus Christ. There are lots of people out there who are going to preach the love of Jesus and who are going to call people to believe in some sense in the death of Jesus. But for example, you can believe that Jesus died as an example, Christus exemplar, as an atonement theory. You can believe that he died on the cross. He did absolutely nothing to take the wrath of God for sinners and to wash their sins clean on the cross. He died to show us an example of sold-out faith in God. That theory, that atonement model, by the way, is hot right now. It's coming back. It's ancient, but it's coming back. And you can find that in the Bible. It's not necessarily heretical, but we are those who see that the central motif of the atonement is penal substitutionary atonement. It's Jesus taking the wrath of God in fulfillment of the sacrificial system so that sinners are totally cleansed and have no shred of wrath remaining on them. So you see how you can preach the death of Jesus. You can preach it powerfully. You can call people to believe in it. You cannot necessarily be preaching, at the end of the day, a rock-ribbed understanding of the death of Christ that ultimately doesn't save people.
So let's pull this conversation together, Dr. Strand, with one final question for you. How can those listening be more theologically precise week in and week out in their preaching and teaching ministries?
I think the core is what you raised earlier. The core is not fundamentally having a killer reading plan each year, although I think that is going to help. The core is not simply getting ministry training at a seminary, if you can. I think that is going to help tremendously. The core, though, wherever you are, whatever your background, whatever degrees you have or do not have, the core is sound exegesis in the study. That is really the core. The core is really reading works of biblical theology and then coming back to the text so that you can understand canonical fulfillment. You can understand promise and promise kept in the Scripture. You can understand individual pericopes of Scripture. You can work in the Greek and the Hebrew. You can work with commentaries such that you are feeding your people a rich doctrinal meal, meat and not milk, in the pulpit. That is the core of a rich, theologically precise pastorate. Other things help. We're glad to provide lots of other services and equipping ministries at a school like this. But the core of this is not a degree. The core of this is not the books you read and put on Twitter. The core of this is your time delving into the Scripture, the original languages, and then bringing that into the pulpit in a digestible form, not shooting over the heads of your people, but bringing them sound doctrine into the pulpit, because that is what is going to sanctify them, and that is what is going to present them blameless before Christ on the last day.
Awesome. Dr. Strand, what a joy to have you in the studio today.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for joining us as well. This podcast for me it's a labor of love. It takes time, but man, I really love doing it because for me, it's encouraging, it's edifying. I get to have conversations that are instructive for me personally with friends and colleagues. But also, it's encouraging for me to hear from so many of you who tweet at us how much they appreciate a particular podcast or send in the email. So thank you for being a listener. Thank you for partnering with us in this great journey of strengthening our preaching ministries. Dr. Strand, thanks for being on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.